Welcome to the Volkswagen Group Culture Podcast. My name is Ezra Aydin. I work for Volkswagen Group Culture Engagement. And today I'm here with Leonardo Di Chiara, an architect from Italy. Leonardo, hello, welcome.
Hello, everyone.
You've been traveling with your tiny house on wheels in the last few months. Could you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your tour and, of course, also about your house?
So my name is Leonardo. I'm 28. I am Italian. I study architecture and building engineering. So I'm an architect, but also an engineer. I moved to Berlin a few years ago, and this is where I started to design tiny houses. So basically small houses on wheels. And from here, I started my journey that you will learn more with this podcast.
Your house on wheels, you call it a void. Can you tell us a little bit more about it?
So a void for two reasons. The first, because as void means empty space, I designed my house like an empty room. And this was a strategy that I used because when you deal with a very small space, I wanted to give the feeling to the resident of this house, that in this case it's myself, that you don't have a limitation in the function. So from an empty space, you can always recreate the room that you want to live in a specific moment of your life. For example, from the empty space, you can open a bed, a Murphy bed, and it becomes a bedroom. Or you can open a kitchen and a table, and you can invite your friend for a dinner. So the limitation of space doesn't need to be a limitation in the function. And so for this reason, I call it a void, because it's an empty space. But also because it's like an act of rebellion from myself. So I wanted to avoid of living like the society tell us to do. So to pay a rent for an apartment that you cannot live because you're always working to pay for that rent. And in that case, I put this rebellion in a house that I think every architect dreamed to build.
So your tiny house is equipped with everything a normal house also has?
Yeah, it's even if it's 9 square meters, you think that I don't have a toilet, but I also have a toilet, which is almost 1 square meter. And I have a kitchen, so I say I can invite even 6 persons for dinner. I have a Murphy bed that you can use as a single bed or as a double bed. And there's a table, there are 2 chairs hidden in the walls. So it's like, they call it a Swiss Army knife tiny house, because you can open a lot and you can discover a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think it makes the experience of living inside very, very interesting, because you always have the feeling that you can find something that you didn't experience before. For example, in a narrow cabinet, I have a ladder, mm-hmm. and with this ladder, I can go on the rooftop. So mm-hmm. I can look at the city from above. So you never feel bored. And I think that's very, very important. If you have a small apartment, if you have a small house, that you don't have the feeling of being always in the same space, which is fixed.
Why 9 square meters? Why did you limit yourself to 9 square meters? Where does this idea come from?
9 square meters, because it's a very important number in the laws. You cannot call a room bedroom if it's less than 9 square meters. So I wanted to demonstrate that in the minimum size, you can do even more than a bedroom. You can also have a toilet and a kitchen. And so I would like to address this topic to politicians and say, we should change a law that was written in 1975. We have new technologies. For example, we can exchange the hair during the night. So we can live in smaller spaces. And so this is why it was very important for me to choose this number, which is also my best number. So it was perfect.
So if I get it right, less than 9 square meters is considered as not being a proper room where people could live in, and you will just demonstrate that you could have an entire house within the size of 9 square meters. That's a nice idea.
And actually, this was happened to me when I was a kid. In my parents' apartment, I got a very, very small room because I was allergic to dust. So my mother said, you need a very small room so that you can clean it every day. So I had a 7 square meter room. And actually, that was a storage before. And I say that in those 7 square meters, I started to be an architect because I was forced to a limitation of space. So I had to find solution to invite my friends and to study, to play. And I really think that this part of my life was the beginning of this experience.
That's very interesting. So we already know what inspired you. What else inspired you to become an architect and to build a house like this? Have there been art movements like minimalism or Bauhaus or anything else that you would like to mention?
I have to say that my personal life really inspired me a lot. Like I had some experience, like I said, living in a very small bedroom, but also I used to go a lot on with my sailing boat when I was a kid. I live on the seaside in Italy, and I travel on the Adriatic with my father, and also I remember that I was very, very excited when I could drive by car with other people because I had the chance to get inside a small space, like in a car, and to see how it was furnished. So I was always intrigued with this idea of small, very small space. And when I started to study architecture in Bologna, of course, I learned the minimalism movement, which is I took a lot from for my tiny house project, especially in the aesthetic. So there's few lines, few materials. It's very clean. And I think that's very important also when you have a small space, because you can always clean again the room and find yourself as the most important object in the space. So minimalism, the aesthetic, but also reflect a lifestyle, which is a lifestyle which need to be light. So you cannot have too many objects, you cannot have too many things in your fridge and so on. And of course, also the Bauhaus, but I would say more for the method. So I learned a lot how much is important the relationship between design and industry. So as an architect, I would like always to work for projects that are connected with a social need. So project that become an answer or a solution for a problem. In my case, the problem is the living, housing. And I think that when you create something, you also need to think how an idea, even if it's very utopical, can become real. So this is why I believe that from the Bauhaus, we can still learn a lot to create a very, very deep connection between the design process and the production process. And I also had the chance to live in real hours like the Bauhaus movement, because actually the first stage of my tour was at the Bauhaus in Berlin, where I could have access to the library, for example, and to conferences and events, and I learned even more. And sometimes I saw that how much after 100 years, so next year will be the century of the Bauhaus, this movement is up to date.
So you have been with several other architects and designers at the so-called Bauhaus campus. Can you tell us a little bit more about this experience?
Yes. As I said, I started to learn about tiny houses in Berlin. By chance, I met an architect, Van Bole Menzel. He's an architect which lives in Berlin, but he has a migration background. And he was funded. He was funding the Tiny House University, which was it's an association which is now I'm part of. And he was looking for people which wanted to be residents of a temporary village mm-hmm. inside the garden of the Bauhaus mm-hmm. Archive in Berlin. And this was my very important motivation for me to finally build this house that I was planning since mm-hmm. some months. And I started to put together parts of this house, and I traveled from Italy to Berlin to be a resident of this village. And we had the chance to test how a tiny house works, but more important, how a neighborhood of more tiny houses can work in the middle mm-hmm. of the city. The interesting part was that even if it was a museum, we were using a space that was never used. So mm-hmm. the garden of the Bauhaus was occupied just once before the Bauhaus campus. They made an exhibition with sculptures that mm-hmm. they were stolen. And so after that, the first thing that happened was this temporary village of tiny houses. So we tried to reactivate a space that was dead for almost 40 years. Mm-hmm. And the result, it's the model of a new neighborhood that can travel to inside the city and always going to occupy the spaces that we don't use. So the experiment really has important results.
You were mentioning that you are very much interested in working with the industry. So did you build the house all by yourself, or did you have partners? Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, I decided to involve a lot of people in the construction of the tiny house because I wanted to have, as I said before, like it was happening at the Bauhaus school in the past, always have involved companies since the beginning, because sometimes we try to answer questions that have already been answered by specific persons, that they are specialists in a kind of field. So I like to have a lot of specialists involved in the construction. So I was going around so I was almost a student. I was just graduated. Was around going next to my hometown in Italy to companies and ask for products and materials to install into the tiny house. And I collected, I would say, 80% of the parts of what you can physically see in the Avoid tiny house. And I involved around 40 companies. So mm-hmm. from the trailer to the objects which you can see inside the kitchen. And this is very important because now it's not just having a product as a sponsor, but they gave knowledge, and now they understood the result of the project. So they are giving back also new products that are better for nomad lifestyle that you have in a tiny house, for example. There's something that happened with the company which produced the fridge, and I told to them I lose a lot of space inside. It's not designed in a proper way. I cannot miss this space. And I put together this company with another one which produce like object for the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And to find a way to combine these two to create a better result. So you have like an optimization of the space inside. And I think if we can like create like a family of companies that can collaborate for a purpose, then this can have like a very good impact for designers of tiny houses in the future, because they have already product which they work a lot on the market.
Mm-hmm. You also involved my company and toured with a VW Touareg through Europe. So how was that? How was your tour?
The tour was not just the tour, but was also my driving lessons through Europe. So it's a house on wheels. So of course, it needs to move. And that's the interesting part, because you can decide where you want to live in a certain moment of your life. For example, I spent the winter in Berlin, and then I ended up to be in the summer on a hill in Tuscany, completely isolated from everyone. And of course, this is another problem. How to move a house, which is quite big, quite heavy. Mm-hmm. And from this comes the idea of involving a car company, and in this case, Volkswagen. Which provided a Touareg SUV that gave me the chance also to learn how to drive my house. At the beginning, when I saw the first wall built, imagine 26-year-old architect living in Bologna for 7 years without a car, so I didn't have so much experience in driving anymore. I thought I will never be able to move this house by myself. This was what I said at the beginning. I was very sad. And so after the first time that I was with a driver, with a tiny house, moving the tiny house with the Touareg, he told me, this car is completely fine, you can learn. And so he said, now I stop and you start to drive. And from the first meter that I did, I realized that I could be able to learn. And it ended up that at the end of the tour, when I came back to my hometown where the tiny house now stands in Italy, you know, we have very narrow roads. Mm-hmm. I could drive alone the tiny house through the city center, and all the people were looking at me, and it was really, I felt completely free because I could think to move the tiny house wherever I want. And so the dream that I had at the beginning to be free and to go to live in different places and to decide where I want to live in a specific time of my life, this was finally the result. And so mm-hmm. this is why I'm saying that the tour was also my driving lessons for Europe.
So you've been touring especially through Germany, Italy and Switzerland. Can you tell us a little bit more about your experiences, about the people you met, the cities you visited? What happened when you arrived?
So first I would like to explain why I choose to travel in Italy, in Germany and Switzerland. I think because they are very complementary countries. In Italy, we have a very good lifestyle. We have nice food. Sometimes we are distracted by this beauty. And in Germany, you find a lot of people are very focused on their work, on innovation and so on. So I think Italians dream to go to Germany because it's very different. And German people love to go to Italy because it's also very different. So I saw like these two countries also for me, like to come together and being like very good for each other. So I spent now 6 months in Italy and 6 months in Germany, for example. So I started from Pesaro, my hometown where I built my house. I was in Berlin, as I said, for the Bauhaus campus, which lasted for 8 months. And then I traveled to Munich, where I parked in front of the Pinakothek de Modern. And then I went to Ulm at the School of Design. Mm-hmm. And then through the Alps, I arrived in Milano for the Design Week, mm-hmm. where a lot of people had the chance to get into my house. And in Rome, I had the chance to stop in three different places. And it was very important because I had the chance to go to a university, so to meet young people, and to live there inside the university. And this gave me a lot of energy because I finally had the chance to share my ideas with people almost from my age, and then they will be the future resident of tiny houses. And then I spent the summer in Tuscany, so on a hill, where I invited a lot of people to test the tiny house. And then I started again to go to Parma, and then to Germany again, to Munich, in Switzerland, in Zurich, and then in Stuttgart. And then it ended up to go back to the starting point, to Pesaro. And the nice thing is that I, as a resident, I felt really to be a resident of the city when I arrived, because it happened that the neighbors where I stopped started to be curious about what I was doing there. So I can say that I had the relationship, I could a strong relationship with everyone mm-hmm. in every city. And so sometimes it also happened that they invited me for dinner, for example, mm-hmm. and that we also swept our houses. Mm-hmm. So,
but you also invited many people for dinners at your place.
Yeah, also.
So what was the maximum number of people you ever hosted?
I hosted six people. And this happened in Italy, and I could not cook in that day. But it was funny because I ordered a pizza which was larger than the table. And but I really love to invite people to stay in the tiny house because this gives them the feeling of how it's the space. I would like, I always try to find some tricks to force the people to stay more than 2 minutes, more than a guided tour, because when you sit down and wait for a coffee, like I did also with you, you become part of the living experiment. You're not more a visitor. You are a friend of mine which comes to visit me at my house. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very important. And this is why I consumed a lot of coffee packages during my tour.
So what was the best part about living on 9 square meters?
I think the best part is that the tiny house becomes almost your coach, your minimalist coach. So I started to give a lot of importance to objects, and not because of possession of object, but for the importance in the function of the object. So now I don't desire anymore to have like a present from my friends, because actually I don't have so much space to storage presents, but I desire more to have friends in my house. And I think that's a very, very big lesson that the house itself taught me.
Mm-hmm. And what was the hardest part?
And the hardest part are sometimes daily routine. Like, I don't know, for example, laundry or cooking, which is, as I said, very important for an Italian. Mm-hmm. And but I think the tiny house, living in a small space, requires to change your lifestyle, to think the way you live, house in a different way. And I sometimes cannot figure it out alone. So I invite some people which can help me to recreate a lifestyle. In this case, I have a friend which is also a cooker. Mm-hmm. And I said, why don't you try to live in my tiny house for 1 week and you find a way how to cook, for example, with few ingredients, with not so much space. Or if you are on a hill in Tuscany and you don't have electricity, just electricity from the sun, from the solar panels, how can you cook like a meal for 6 persons? Mm-hmm. So she stayed for 7 days and she invented every day a new recipe that I can use during my living experiment in the tiny house.
I was very much impressed that you also have a greenhouse on the roof of your tiny house, so you can grow the ingredients for your meals directly on the top of your roof. That was really impressive. So what is happening with your tiny house now? Your tour ended. What's happening next?
So now my tiny house, it's parked in Italy, in Pesaro, my hometown. And I choose to go back there not because the trip it's ended, but because I think my hometown, it's very good for me to start to understand how to answer the question that I received most during my tour, which is where and how we can use these houses in cities. What's the legal process behind living in a tiny house? And I had the chance to strengthen good relationship with the politicians in my hometown. So I asked to them to give me a special permission to live inside for 6 months. So I will spend all the winter as a resident inside the tiny house. And I would like to find a way to change the law and make it possible for people to build their own tiny house and live inside that in a city, which is now not clear if our European laws can allow this. So also in this case, it's like an experiment. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's very important to test it by myself. also to live for a certain time without events and guided tours. So I will ask, I found a private place, not anymore a museum, because I want to live there like if it's really my house. So have my personal objects, inviting my friends, and not to be forced to open it every day, but I want to still give the chance to people to interact with me. So every month I will have I call it a tiny house meetup, where people can ask me questions, and I will also give the chance to one person every month to test the life inside for 2 nights. Because I think that's also very important to know from others what is the result, what are the possibilities, and what are the positive feedback and the negative feedback of living in a tiny house.
You also offered your house via Airbnb, so it was possible to rent your house to spend some time in Tuscany. How was that, giving your own space to foreign people to leave it to them?
Yes, it was very funny, because if you read my Airbnb page, you will find it almost impossible to rent this house. I made a very strict description, because I wanted that the people understood that it's not automatic that you can feel good in a small space. You need to be like a life choice. But a lot of people answered and they got interested. Some of them, they didn't rent a tiny house, but they said, please, like, we would like to know what's the result of this experiment that you're posting now on Airbnb. And I can say that there was a couple that came from Australia.
Really?
just to sleep in the tiny house, and they stayed for 4 days. And at the end, they said, we ended up this experience with the idea of building our own tiny house in Australia, and give up our apartment, because we saw that, less is more, like as someone said in the past. And I think that's that's really, really important for me to hear from others the result of their experience.
Would you consider yourself as a modern citizen, and do you think this could be one option of how to live in future cities? Or would you say how will life look like, or could look like?
I think tiny houses, or which are on wheels or not on wheels, you can also call it small apartments, can be a possibility for a lot of people, but not a solution for the whole society. So as I said before, you need to understand that your lifestyle need to be changed. And not everyone can give up of a big space. For example, if you like to collect chairs, you will never live in a good way in a tiny house. So it works for some persons, and I would like that it can become a possibility in the market. So you should be able to rent a small apartment, for example, in Berlin or in other big cities in Europe. I think we are going through a very big changing in the society, especially because of technology. So a lot of like new things are coming now, maybe in the next decade. For example, connectivity, which has already changed a lot. Everyone now has a cell phone with internet, and we can find a way through the city without asking to the person that we meet. And if you think that 10 years ago we had to stop every 5 minutes to ask where is the street, and now we just use our GPS. Or the mobility, for example. Maybe in the future we will have this meeting in an autonomous car, which will already drive me back to Italy, where it's plus 10 degrees, who knows. And of course, this has a big impact in our structure, in our city structure in the future. And as an architect, I'm very interested to learn how technology can change the aspect of our life in a city, but also in our rural areas. For example, if you have a very fast train, you can decide to live on in a countryside, and in just 5 minutes you can be in the city center of Berlin. Mm-hmm. So this gives also the chance to rethink our way of living in countries.
Mm-hmm. And because you are an architect, what impact does this experience have on your work, your profession?
You mean the tiny house project?
Mm-hmm. Your experiences, do they have an impact on your profession as an architect? Do you think differently now? Do you have other projects in mind than probably at the beginning of your studies?
I didn't think that that living in a tiny house could change a lot my perspective on certain things. Now I can say that I would design the tiny house in a different way. So I think the living experience inside was very, very, very important. So this is why now I would like to start a new design, to implement some parts. So like the shape inside and some very small things, but that change really the positive experience of living inside. And of course, this gave me the chance to meet a lot of people, to be reported in newspapers. So even if I'm very young, there's a person that is the owner of a radio station in Italy that saw this young architect living in a small space on wheels, and he said, "I always had the dream to go with a radio in small places, small squares where big trucks cannot go, and you are the right person to help me to fulfill this dream. So please come to us and let's design together the smallest radio station on wheels." And this is what I'm doing now. Mm-hmm. So my tiny house also became my office. So I will move very soon, I think, to the construction site where this radio will be built. And I will follow like the construction phase and also the details.
Did you get many offers or did you get many orders like this?
Yes, there are a lot of... Yes.
So there's a demand.
there's a demand, and it's nice to see that the people not just think about houses, but they understand that there's a lot of potential in the spaces on wheels. So sometimes the requests, they will never be developed in real. So they are just ideas that they come out during a coffee meeting inside a tiny house. But for example, there was an NGO association which deals with drug problems, and it said it would be nice to create a space where the people on the street can easily get inside and have someone to help them, because this person was very impressed by the fact that it's a private space but still on in the middle of a public space. Mm-hmm. So very, very close to the persons that walk mm-hmm. by. And I received an email from Dubai, for example, from a hotel company that it said, "Why don't we build a hotel which is on wheels?" So like a nomad hotel. Mm-hmm. This was already an idea that I had in the past. So I said, "Yes, let's do it." But who knows if it's going to happen or not. I hope that other architects will also look at spaces on wheels as a profession. There are not so many, and I would like to give the chance to students to come to work with me as interns. But they need to have a camper van or a van, because I'm nomad, so it will be like a nomad internship. Not so easy.
So what was your mission, and what would you say is the most important message you want to give with your project?
So with the tour and project, I wanted to say that if you have a dream, if you have a big dream, you can still fit it in a small space. So my dream was to have a house and to travel at the same time. And I could put together these two dreams in a tiny house on wheels. So once you know that you can live in a small space and have like a small space always with you, you can use it to build up the dream of your life. And I think as an architect, I would like to create objects and spaces that make people happy. And I think with the house on wheels, it's really something that can be used to fulfill a dream of going to live on a hill, a dream to go like next to your mother if she's sick, to live next to her, or to go to school in London where the rent is too expensive for a student. And so I feel that that gives me the chance to fulfill my dream as an architect.
Thank you very much, Leonardo.
Thank you.